He then coughed, realizing that his answer could be taken badly.
I know what you meant, Basil. It's fine, Gregory chuckled. You two are on page duty tomorrow?
Yes, sir,
Basil answered before Hans did.
Has the rotation of duties been okay?
It's been very nice, sir,
Hans said.
It gets us used to everything, and we still get a day off. We've been studying with Rafik to make sure our letters and numbers are good, too.
Solid skills to have, either in service or out,
Gregory smiled at the eager young man.
I'm off to see the cooks. Have a good day.
The pair saluted him, wishing him a good day before they went back to work. Gregory's talk with the cooks hadn't been anything out of the ordinary. He chatted about different meals before heading off to find May last. She was tidying up the front room of the suite when he found her.
May, do you have a moment?
Gregory asked. The snake ear tick whipped around before exhaling.
Oh, sorry, sir. I didn't expect you to be here.
May was a slightly built woman, and while she was full ear tick, she was also humanoid. He found it odd that as a snake ear tick, she didn't have the body of a snake. All the ear tick he'd ever seen were bipedal, so maybe it wasn't that odd. Her long, thin tail and long, flickering tongue made it clear that she was a snake and not some other type of ear tick.
I was checking in with everyone since I had time today. I haven't really had a chance to talk with you since arriving, so I made sure I had time.
He took a seat, motioning her to one.
How are you?
May hesitated, then took the seat. She arranged her skirt demurely, not meeting his eyes.
Good, sir.
May, are you sure?
Yes, but also...
May trailed off with a sigh.
Being here and talking to the other staff reminds me of how bad things could be. The old ambassador...
She shuddered, unable to finish what she was going to say.
"Was a terrible man who will one day pay for what he did," Gregory said softly. "Ignore, remember, then repay. It's the unofficial Warland family motto. Yuki's very unhappy with him for what he did, so trust in her to make him pay for it."
May bowed in her seat.
"We all trust your family, sir."
Her tongue flickered out for a moment before she cleared her throat.
Sir, do you know if Makar is single?
Gregory's eyebrows shot to his hairline. That was not a question he was expecting.
I believe so. May, why the question?
May looked away from him.
He's been very kind.
I see. I'm not sure what to say, May.
May tried a few times, then swallowed her fear.
Could you ask if he'd be okay with a ear tick? I don't want to approach him and have him get rid of me.
Gregory opened foresight and resonance, focusing on doing as May asked. He checked the short-term and long-term repercussions before shutting his magic down. It had been unexpected, but he nodded slowly.
I will. I do want to say, though, that you might need to be understanding.
May exhaled roughly, slumping a little in her seat.
If he's not interested, that's fine. I don't want him to be upset with me.
Gregory got up and crossed the few feet to pat her back.
Chin up. Wait until we have an answer. The worst that'll happen is that he says no. If I don't tell him that it's you, but just ask about your tick, he'll never know.
May nodded as relief rushed through her.
Oh, right. Oh, thank you.
Have a good day.
You too, sir.
Chapter 6. The next afternoon, Gregory paused beside Makar's desk.
The ambassador asked for me.
Ambassador Spirit Lotus is here, as you know,
Makar said.
She would like to speak with you.
Of course.
Gregory said, then started an awkward segue.
I was asked a question the other day, and I didn't know how to broach it with you.
Makar's brow furrowed briefly.
Intriguing. Just ask.
Would you be interested in a relationship with a full Yurtik?
Blinking slowly as his eyebrows rose, Makar stared at Gregory in silence for a few seconds.
That was unexpected. Oh, that's a difficult question, because I am going to go with my mother wherever they post her next. That would mean the Yurtik would have to be a slave, because the Empire only has enslaved Yurtiks within its borders.
I'll take that as not fully opposed, but unlikely.
If they were already a slave,
Makar said slowly, fading off as he thought about it. After a moment, he met Gregory's eyes again.
One of the staff who came with you, or with your wives, that can be the only reason you'd ask. It's not Petal, obviously. She isn't interested in another husband. Dot is besotted with your squire Basil, and Poca is in a relationship with Barney. That only leaves the sisters, Nami and Nettie, and May.
Gregory kept his face straight, not giving away anything.
I can't say no. However, I would ask you to temper the asker, as I would feel terrible having a relationship with someone under my oversight. If in a few years they still feel strongly about the idea, then maybe. I need to do some soul-searching and see if stepping away from my mother and accepting a relationship with a free Yurtik here in Kroga might be my future.
Gregory bowed to Makar.
I'll inform the Inquirer of your thoughts on the matter. They were highly nervous about asking me to approach you, so I don't think they'll press the issue. Your consideration will probably make them very happy.
Makar sat forward slightly after looking around.
Pettit, tell me honestly, please. How do you manage it? All the wives? I've never found a woman as interested, much less as dedicated, as one of your wives.
Gregory gave Makar a crooked smile.
I'm just blessed by Vera. I didn't seek to have so many wives. I honestly believed it would be just Yuki and I, but then Jen came into our circle, and things gained momentum on their own. Then it happened again, and again. Not all women are drawn to me, though it might seem like it to others. My wives and I were always fated to find and love each other as if our souls harmonize in a perfect way.
Makar sat back with a sigh.
Of course. If you could get Vera to bless Mother and I to find our own harmonizations, I would thank you all my life.
I will see what's possible. But would your mother really want a relationship at this point? It seemed she'd much rather have a Magi child than a Magi husband.
Makar looked distant for a moment.
A husband would have to be part of the clan. It would be the only way she'd accept, as they'd have to be as deep a believer as she is.
Vera only knows if that's possible. I should head in now. Thank you for answering my awkward question.
No, thank you for asking me. I will not take the question lightly.
Gregory knocked on Rudit's office door and then entered.
Ambassador, I was sent for.
Pettit, Ambassador Spirit Lotus wishes to speak with you. You are under no obligation to do so,
Rudit said. Spirit Lotus gave Gregory a knowing smile.
I would like to speak about your posting in the north, so close to our border, along with your fights in the festival. In return, I would be willing to speak about my homeland with you.
Gregory bowed deeply as a Magi.
I would be honored, Ambassador. If it isn't too much to ask, I'd like to request that my wife Yukiko sit in with us.
I would accept that. She struck me as keen and insightful.
Gregory looked at Rudit.
If your conversation is done, ma'am, I'll escort the ambassador to my office.
Go ahead, Pettit,
Rudit replied, standing.
Ambassador, it was a delight to speak with you. I'll be pondering your insights for the rest of the day.
The pleasure is mine, Ambassador,
Spirit Lotus said. She faced Rudit, then pressed her upright palms together over her heart as she bowed slightly.
I do not think our countries will ever see eye to eye, but peace is always welcome.
The ambassador is in your care, Pettit,
Rudit said.
This way, Ambassador,
Gregory said, motioning to the door before he began to lead her. They were silent as they walked to his office. Spirit Lotus watched the few guards with a wary eye as they traveled the halls. She had her defenses, but there were no plants inside the embassy, taking her most potent ability away from her if she needed it.
Here we are,
Gregory said, leading her into his office.
Yuki, Ambassador Spirit Lotus is here. Ambassador, my wife Yukiko Pettit.
Spirit Lotus's eyebrows rose to see Yukiko already there with a tea service and a selection of prepared fruits.
A foresight user can either be quite the problem or a blessing, depending on if they are an ally or a foe, Spirit Lotus murmured.
Gregory would rather be friends with everyone,
Yukiko said, having easily heard the soft words.
He's a sweet man. Would you like anything to go with apple tea?
Nothing to the tea itself, but I will take an assortment of the fruits. Thank you.
Once they were seated with food and drink, Gregory smiled.
How might I assist, Ambassador?
I spoke with Ambassador Clearwind yesterday, Pettit. His story about your last posting was different. I'd like to hear it from you, please.
Of course, Gregory said. When I arrived for my posting.
That is exactly what I was told. What Clearwind doesn't know is that my people heard from refugees of destroyed villages who were moving far closer to the city than they had been. There were Yurtiks who spoke of a Magi upholding laws, seeing them freed instead of enslaved. Ambassador Blit was quite shocked to hear the same, Spirit Lotus said.
Gregory glanced at the window with Aethersight, showing him again a spy listening in.
All I did was uphold the laws, as written, Gregory said softly.
Spirit Lotus glanced at the window, then dipped her head fractionally.
I see. I will leave the topic there, then, so as not to cause discomfort. There is a request I have with me from Ambassador Blit. He himself will not enter these walls, as he has no desire to be collared as a slave. However, if you are amenable, he would like to see you at our joint embassy in 2 days.
Gregory sat back as if he had to consider it. He'd spoken about this with Rudit earlier, and she'd agreed with it.
I requested that you visit the embassy. Ambassador Rudit said it would be your choice.
Spirit Lotus smiled.
I would request a couple of my wives join me, Gregory said slowly. Clover and Ling, both of whom you met during the festival.
The couple who are so different from each other, Spirit Lotus nodded. I approve of that. I can answer any questions you have now.
I have only one,
Yukiko said.
In regard to your name, we were stopped during the festival, but I have held that curiosity.
My name indeed references the flower seen at Aether's temples. We have books devoted to the subject of the flower, books that are not allowed inside the Empire. I would say more, but it would hurt my people.
The flower did exist, though, when Aether walked the world?
Yukiko asked.
That is fact. It is why it is on his temples. Please, let us drop the topic here.
Very well. That's enough to sate my curiosity. All the books I've read debated it even being real. Even if it no longer exists today, it having been alive before just reaffirms Aether's views.
Aether had many views that aren't upheld by some, Spirit Lotus said with a faint edge of anger.
Sadly, that is true, Gregory said. I'll think over what questions I should ask when we speak again, Ambassador.
Spirit Lotus smiled brightly.
I was going to ask about the festival, but since you're coming to my embassy soon, I will wait until then.
Standing up, she bowed with her palms pressed together vertically in front of her chest.
May Aether guide you.
The two Magi stood and bowed to her in return.
May Aether guide you, Ambassador.
Gregory returned to his office after escorting Spirit Lotus out. He locked the door and then joined Yukiko on the sofa. His head dipped fractionally when she looked to the window as he sat with her.
She's quite personable,
Yukiko said, understanding that they were still being watched.
She's only the third elf we've met. First there was Bella, who runs the second floor of the Academy mess hall. Then we met Mistress Nightsong, who made our armor for us. Now Ambassador Spirit Lotus.
That's true. They keep mostly to their forest, it seems.
Yukiko sighed.
If we have a moment to ourselves...
She smiled wickedly, then straddled him.
Might I have some kisses, my soul?
Gregory did as she requested. When they broke apart after a few minutes, Gregory examined the office with aethersight and grinned.
Oh, you're devious, Yuki.
It takes a special kind of person to continue to watch if they think we're about to do more.
Yukiko giggled, staying on his lap.
We can talk until they come back if they do.
How far should I trust them when I go to their embassy?
If you're in the main office with the enchantments and they've activated them, as far as you feel comfortable with, at least as far as your posting goes. I'm sure the elves still have spirit lotus flowers. It likely takes an elf to be able to grow them.
Yukiko trailed off, her brow furrowing.
Oh, maybe.
What?
Elsa's father. Or not father,
Yukiko said.
He was a half-elf who grew flowers. It begs the question, what if someone requested that he grow them a spirit lotus? Could that have been why he died?
Gregory frowned but nodded slowly.
Maybe. Would the nameless magi have had seeds or a cutting of one? Or were they demanding he get one and grow it? That's another possibility.
Yukiko sighed as she went to get up. There was work she still had to finish for the day. She gasped when Gregory pulled her firmly to his chest, not letting her stand.
Dearest?
I'd like a few more kisses, my heart.
Yukiko melted against him.
As my soul desires.
She shivered as her lips touched his lightly. She loved it when Gregory was assertive with her. Her fears that she was pushing love onto him ebbed when he was firm with asking her for more. Gregory kissed her softly and sweetly. His love for Yukiko had only ever grown. He knew her desire was to make sure he was loved forever, and he wanted to make sure her desires were met. Being firm when he asked for more also made Yukiko flush and shiver, letting him know that he'd made her happy in doing so. Chapter 7.
Nothing to worry about today, Gregory told his wives while he worked on his arms master squares. It's a normal day here at the embassy. Tomorrow, Clover and Ling will be going with me to the Elven embassy.
What about the duels? Mindy asked.
The first champion shows up today, one of Ragnar's friends. He's the one Ragnar fought for the Axe Finals, Donik Volgason. He's respectful and fights with just skill. It'll be a tough spar, but there won't be any serious injuries. You and Lita manage just fine.
Oh, Lita will be there?
Mindy smiled brightly.
I like her. She's been eager to learn how I heal. From what I gather, she'd be an adept in power, and she's still studying to improve. She was purely mind path, but I got her to consider the resonant mind.
Friends are a good thing to have,
Clover said.
Especially here,
Ling added, kissing Clover's cheek.
The only real injury of note during the honor fights is a broken arm, Gregory said, dragging the topic back on track. One of the guards catches a challenger's elbow. It's clearly not intentional, but accidents happen. One of the elders shows up to check in, since this is the first allowed champion challenge under the new agreement we have.
Which one?
Yukiko asked.
Elder Petrickson. I haven't really talked with him. He's a little standoffish, but doesn't act rude.
When are Ragnar and his sister coming to the embassy?
Roshana asked.
I haven't looked ahead for it,
Gregory said, pausing his puzzle.
Should I try?
Please,
Yukiko said.
It'd give us time to prepare.
Prepare? Gregory said.
Greg, our dear soul, two very important people are coming to visit,
Yukiko said softly. Her eyes went to the windows of the room, making it clear that she didn't know if they were being watched. Gregory opened aethersight.
It's clear, he said after scanning the room for wind and shadow magics.
Two gods reborn are coming over. It's important that we be ready for them, especially if one of them will probably be our wife in the future.
Add on the fact that you mentioned he knows his past life more than you do, meaning she might too,
Jen said.
It makes us feel like we'll be playing from behind.
Gregory set his wax tablet down.
No, she might be Vera, and maybe she'll be a wife. That doesn't matter. What matters is having all of you here with me right now. You are my hearts. She'll just have to accept that and be respectful that you're already my wives.
His wives stared at him with small, happy smiles, feeling joyous that he felt so strongly for them. To say that Vera was secondary to them had all of their hearts warm.
We still want to make sure we're presenting our best foot forward,
Yukiko said.
I'm considering it like any bargaining. We hold our heart, and she'll want to join us in that.
While I agree, Ling said softly, that sounds very mercantile.
Gregory barked out a laugh, unable to help himself. The others slowly joined in when the words sunk in. Ling reddened lightly at the laughing. She knew it wasn't directed at her, but it was still embarrassing.
You're not wrong,
Yukiko giggled.
But that's who I am.
She'll get the best end of a deal, even against Vera, Jen snickered.
A merchant wife is difficult to defeat in a deal,
Mindy added with laughter. Gregory reached over and squeezed Ling's hand.
We know what you meant, and you aren't wrong. Before we meet her, are any of you opposed to the idea while she's an unknown?
No one spoke up.
So, it'll come down to her and how she acts with us, Gregory said. I'm pretty sure Ragnar will want me to beat him in a fight before we're allowed to wed her as it is. His message in the temple was pretty clear.
That is that,
Roshana agreed.
When we do speak to them, we won't be able to be open about things. I'm sure we'll be under watch.
Ling pursed her lips in thought but didn't say anything, though she had a thought about privacy.
But when are they coming?
Clover asked. Gregory closed his eyes, combining resonance with foresight. It wasn't far off, but the meeting itself wasn't solid. Different paths kept shifting from moment to moment. Letting his magic go, Gregory sighed.
A few days, and my foresight can't give me a clean look at what it'll be like.
You've seen clean futures around him before, just not when he interacts with you,
Yukiko said slowly.
Maybe it's a resonance between you and him.
Maybe,
Gregory said. Picking his wax tablet up again, he went back to work on his puzzle. Mindy walked holding Gregory's hand while she chatted with Lita. The pair were discussing the intricacies of the pulmonary system. Gregory listened in, as he was still learning healing from Mindy. While he didn't understand everything, he felt he was getting the gist of it. When they'd reached the small, sunken area that they'd been using for the honor duels, the other two people Gregory had expected were already waiting there.
Elder Petrickson, Champion Volgason, it's an honor to see you both here.
Ambassador Pettit,
Petrickson bowed his head slightly.
I'm just here to make sure that the first big day of these honor duels goes smoothly. Do not be surprised if an elder is here on the days the champions come to spar.
That's understandable, and we thank you for it, Gregory said. None of us want a regrettable incident.
Well said. Today, Champion Volgason will be dueling you. I've been looking forward to it.
Donic Volgason grinned.
Though, to be fair, I'd also have enjoyed a fight with your wife. Erica was all praise for her ability, and she pushed Ragnar, too. But to fight the man who almost defeated my oldest friend, that is better.
I will do my best, Gregory said. With both of us only using skill, it'll favor you. Your passive strength and speed increases from your magic is not something I can replicate. Well, not yet, at least.
Yes, I heard that you have dual magics, foresight and physical. In time, you might even best Ragnar. I wouldn't bet on it, though, as Ragnar is the pinnacle of what a warrior should be.
Agreed, Gregory said softly. He is indeed that. Facing him was the hardest fight I've endured, and I've faced an Elder Magi of physical enhancement. While Ragnar isn't that powerful in Aether yet, he's still pushed me far harder than anyone has before.
Gregory! Greta called out, as she hadn't let the others down into the fighting area. Did you want to start?
Might be for the best, Gregory grinned. After you, Volgason.
Call me Donic.
I'm Gregory. Let's see who wins honor today.
The fight was difficult. Without foresight, Gregory was at a disadvantage against the faster, stronger fighter. His skill with his weapon was beyond Donic's, which is what kept the spar going. A crowd had formed at the railing. Word of a champion fighting Gregory had spread, and the citizens had packed in tightly to watch. Bets were being called out, heavily favoring Donic. Elder Petrickson being there kept things a little more sedate, but it was still raucous. Mindy and Lita were near the opening into the pit, ready to rush down when the fight ended. No one crowded the healers, for which Mindy was grateful. A hard bump could push either her or Lita into danger. The fight came to an end abruptly.
Donick managed to hook the Tsuba of the Naginata much the way Ragnar had during the festival. Instead of Gregory being kicked clear, he let go of the weapon when Donick yanked. That staggered the champion as he'd expected to contest the disarm. Before he could regain his footing, Gregory was on top of him, his wooden training wakizashis tapping Donick's chest rapidly just under his neck 3 times. Letting go of his axe, Donick dropped to 1 knee, holding up a hand. Lita and Mindy all but flew to the 2 men to check on them. Gregory gave Mindy a strained smile when her aether pushed into him. The alternating hot and cold waves found nothing wrong and quickly faded away. Mindy gave him a relieved smile when she realized that he was unharmed.
Well fought, Donick said, getting to his feet. I should have considered that this isn't the festival. Changing weapons is allowed.
He slapped his right fist over his heart.
Thank you for the reminder in a setting that doesn't see me killed.
Gregory saluted him back as a Krogian.
You're a worthy opponent, Donick. Multiple times I barely escaped defeat. A hair's width on a dodge or a second's hesitation, you'd have won. I am honored to have been tested by you, champion.
Gregory then bowed to him as a magi.
Thank you.
Lita brought Gregory his weapon, an amused smile on her face.
Are you going to lose your weapon every time you fight the champion with an axe?
Donick's laughter was loud.
Oh, good point. 2 for 2.
Gregory gave a small shrug with a self-deprecating smile.
Perhaps, but I hope not.
Oh, I promised Ragnar that I'd tell him of the duel.
Donick sighed.
If you'll excuse me, he's probably waiting for me.
He paused, then met Gregory's eyes.
You and your wives have shown me what magi should be. Don't take offense when we raid your lands.
Gregory grew serious as he dipped his head.
It's how our countries have been since the Empire was founded. I'll ask you to forgive me if they call me to join the fight.
We'd never let you out. Too dangerous.
Donick snorted with a small grin.
Good day, magi.
Good day, champion.
Coming back to the room after dinner, Gregory wondered about what Donick had said. It reminded Gregory of the festival when his wives saw that the walls Aether had built could keep people in as well as out.
Greg, what's bothering you?
Yukiko asked after she'd shut the door behind them.
Donick mentioned them raiding the Empire. He asked me not to take offense. I told him the Empire might recall me to fight if they do, and he said that Kroga wouldn't let me go.
They'd surround the embassy and double the wall guards,
Yukiko said.
No doubt the towns nearby would be warned to watch for you and detain you too. Honestly, all of us, not just you.
Only you and Greg would have a chance to get away, Jen said tightly. Without bloodshed, that is. If we tried to fight our way out, we'd be considered combatants instead of ambassadors.
Which would give them leave to attack you with everything they have, Ling said. Stenson would no doubt show up for that.
Can't beat a man with elder or sage levels of aether, Gregory sighed. Shadow or spatial magic would be needed to get out. I only have my ring.
His gaze went to the windows.
Yuki would be the only one who could reliably get away.
Which the Empire might ask,
Yukiko said, having seen his look.
We'll just have to see what they do with the High Champion leading them.
Tomorrow will be interesting.
Clover said to change the topic.
I wonder what the Elven Embassy looks like.
We'll see soon enough, Ling murmured. Cuddles.
Yes, but before that,
Yukiko smirked.
A little fun. Mindy, can you grab the silks for Roshana? Dear heart, can you bind our wife so she's happy?
The last part was directed at Gregory. Gregory smiled when he saw Roshana's hopeful expression.
Binding her firmly to us for all time.
Oh, can I?
Laughter cut Clover off, as they all knew what she was going to ask for. Clover didn't mind. She just grinned wider as she bounced in place.
I'll guide you,
Yukiko whispered as she led Clover to the bedroom. Gregory watched his wives get things ready for bed while he waited for the silks. Life was wonderful, and he wouldn't change a thing. Chapter 8. Gregory took the seat across from Rudit.
Ma'am, can we talk about some, sensitive topics?
Rudit's eyebrows went up, but she pulled out a signet ring from her spatial storage, pressing it into the decorative scrollwork engraved into her desk.
Very well. As briefly as possible, please. Gregory hadn't known the enchantment was tied to the signet ring or the desk, but it made sense to him.
Ling, Clover, and I are going to speak with Spirit Lotus and Blit at her embassy. I briefed you on that before?
Yes.
Sensitive topics will be brought up, and the ambassador will use this same function at that point. I wanted to make sure you knew that nothing that can be used against the Empire will be discussed. We'll cover Yurtics in the north and the archive. If you're questioned about it in the future, I want you to know what was discussed. I didn't push to find out why, but my resonance made it a point that I should tell you.
Rudy nodded slowly, because it could be used to tarnish your name. However, if we discussed your trip beforehand, it could just be us playing at espionage. A small smile crossed her face. Get us any useful information you can, Pettit. I know how shrewd Spirit Lotus is, but do your best.
Yes, ma'am,
Gregory said. He motioned to the desk. When she reclaimed the ring, Gregory cleared his throat.
Understood, ma'am. The day here at the embassy is calm. Jen and Mindy will handle the honor duels without any problems.
Very well. Keep my orders in mind, but don't be found out, Rudit said, playing her part. Dismissed, Pettit. Gregory bowed to Rudit. He'd seen the brief hint of wind magic that appeared when the enchantment dropped. With his dismissal, it vanished. Turning on his heel, he left the office, but stopped by Makar's desk.
Everything's calm today.
Thank you, Gregory. It helps when I can anticipate her needs.
Have a good day, Makar.
Gregory was happy to cuddle with Ling and Clover as the carriage took them to the Elven Embassy. Clover idly toyed with Gregory's shirt, a happy smile on her lips. Ling purred silently, but Gregory felt the rumble because she was against his side, her head on his shoulder. The carriage slowed, then stopped before the driver called out who they were. Another voice answered him, and a moment later the gates to the Elven Embassy opened. Clover and Ling sat up with sighs, but drew the window curtains back so they could see outside. Greenery dominated the yard, and the driveway had trees flanking it, but even beyond them, the gardens thrived.
Defensive gardens? Ling asked slowly.
The trees are one thing, but the blood-tip roses around them are known for their hard thorns. I see strangle vines in the branches of the trees, too. Attacking the embassy would be a terrible idea,
Clover explained to them.
Good thing we come as friends, Gregory murmured.
He could all too easily imagine how the elves could turn the garden into a killing field with their magic. Arriving at the front of the embassy, the Magi guard squad who'd accompanied them had the door open.
Sir, we've arrived,
Sergeant Bunsen said, stepping aside for Gregory.
Thank you, Sergeant. I trust you and the men to be on your best behavior.
Yes, sir.
Helping Ling and Clover out of the carriage, Gregory smiled at the elven man waiting for them.
Assistant Ambassadors Gregory, Clover, and Ling Pettit. We were invited by Ambassador Spirit Lotus.
Yes, sir. The men will be shown to a place to wait. You can follow me,
the elven man replied. The trio followed the elf inside. His outfit was the same one that Gregory had seen the guards at the festival wearing. It was a mix of grays and greens, with vines wrapping around his arms and legs. The pot with the plant attached to his belt was at his back, while two small swords were strapped to his thighs. Having one of the guards greet them was unusual, and Gregory wondered if it was a message that he didn't understand. As they walked the embassy, though, Gregory shook his head. The Elven Embassy was smaller than the Empire's, and they had far less staff. During the walk, he only noticed one other guard and a single wolf yurtic. However, the dozens of plants in each hallway again made it clear that any attack on the embassy would be a nightmare. The outer office for the ambassador had a half-elf sitting at the desk. Handing them off to the assistant, the guard left them in the office. The assistant had them wait for a moment to check, then ushered them into the office.
Pettits, welcome to the embassy, Spirit Lotus smiled. You've all met Blit before.
Blit gave them a nod, though his head was turned so he could clearly see them with one of his eyes. Gregory didn't know what animal Blit was tied to, but his large snout and horn were distinctive.
Magi, please come sit.
Thank you for having us, Ling said.
It's an honor to be here,
Clover said excitedly.
Ambassadors, you have our thanks for extending this invitation,
Gregory said as the three of them took a seat on the sofa facing the two ambassadors.
Polite Magi,
Blit murmured, shaking his head.
Your clan has been far different than the last ambassador.
That person, Ling chose her words carefully, isn't fit to be spoken about.
We don't like him,
Clover said.
I arrived last out of my family, Gregory said. From what I was told, the previous ambassador was one of the worst Magi I've heard of. If our paths ever cross, I'm sure harsh words will be the least thing exchanged. What he did to the staff...
Gregory trailed off with a deep sigh.
He's not fit for company.
It really isn't, Spirit Lotus agreed. Would you care for some tea?
She waved over the table and a tea service appeared on it, along with some snacks.
Yes, please.
Clover smiled brightly, then her nose twitched.
Wait, what is it?
A special blend from my home, Spirit Lotus said. I thought I would offer it to those who have shown themselves to be better than their peers.
Blake cleared his throat.
Yes, the ambassador told me about your talk. I was curious if you'd repeat it, pet it.
Please call me Gregory. With Clover and Ling here with me, it could lead to some confusion. Gregory smiled. Coming from Alturas, I find that a little informality can make things friendlier.
Annabella,
Spirit Lotus said softly while she poured for everyone. Blit's head swiveled so he could see the ambassador clearly.
Very well. Rasha is my given name.
It is an honor to be allowed to be informal. Thank you,
Ling said, dipping her head.
Ling and Clover work for us.
Yes,
Clover nodded, then accepted the cup from Spirit Lotus.
Thank you.
Raising it to her nose, Clover inhaled the steam. Eyes shooting open wide, she stared at the tea in awe. Ling took the next cup and did the same. Her reaction was more subdued, but the surprise was clear to Gregory. When he took his own and copied his wife's, he understood. The vapor from the steaming cup stirred his aether. The scent was not something he'd ever encountered before, but a memory bubbled up as he stared at it.
This is lovely. Thank you.
It is my honor and pleasure to serve you something unique, Aether.
The elf sitting across from him was all smiles. Her outfit was mostly comprised of leafy vines, the small pieces of cloth underneath her foliage barely covering her.
When the traveler said you'd be coming to see us, we were excited.
An old friend who I rarely see.
Aether sighed.
Never happy with where they are.
But always fun to be around.
The elf smiled brightly.
Oh, that's true. Also trouble. So much trouble. But let's talk about this delightful tea. What is it?
Spirit Lotus. It replenishes us, and it can even strengthen us if imbibed often enough.
It makes me want to sit in silent contemplation,
Aether murmured.
Yes, it helps us connect to the flame.
Shall we?
Aether asked as he closed his eyes, still slowly drinking as he drifted into meditation.
It is a pleasure to do so with you.
The elf smiled, then closed her eyes too. Gregory blinked the memory away, looking at Spirit Lotus smiling at him. There was a distant resemblance to the elf in his memory, possibly a relative many times removed from the ambassador.
We're honored. It's exceptional.
That is gratifying to hear, Spirit Lotus smiled.
Before we get into other matters, let's just enjoy this moment of peaceful calm.
The five sat in silence as they sipped their tea. Clover and Ling were lightly meditating while they drank, but Gregory didn't let himself lapse into meditation. He was instead considering the memory that had come up. As they were finishing their cups, he cleared his throat.
I'm curious, Annabella. Has your family always shared this tea with people they find worthy?
Spirit Lotus's eyes narrowed fractionally.
Few outside of our allies have ever sampled it, but my family is known for keeping the best petals and leaves for tea.
Then Aether might have sat with an ancestor to drink it?
Gregory asked as he set his empty cup down.
He did, Spirit Lotus said softly. The story has been passed down for generations in the family. It was before we started recording stories, so the exact details are lost, sadly.
I can readily believe he would have, Gregory said. The quiet of the garden around them as they sipped in meditation.
That is a wonderful image,
Ling said, setting her cup down.
With the first cup down, if it's okay,
Blit asked.
May I hear the story of your posting from you, Gregory?
Of course. Gregory dipped his head. I should start on the day I arrived.
You did the best you could,
Blit said.
You have the thanks of our kingdom.
Gregory smiled as he set a piece of paper on the table.
Might I have some more tea, Annabella?
The ambassador picked up the paper. Reading it, her eyebrows went up. She set the paper down and refilled the cups. Gregory reclaimed the note when she did. This way, no evidence of his request was lying around.
Of course. Rasha, will you turn on my music box? I think our guests would appreciate it.
Blitz head twisted slightly so he could stare at her with one eye.
Very well, Ambassador.
When Blit returned, there was soft music playing from a box on the desk. He thanked Spirit Lotus for the fresh cup as he retook his seat.
The enchantment is working.
Gregory exhaled before he took another sip.
Oh, thank you, Ambassador. I'll tell you some truths that the Empire doesn't know. Thera was Theramona's stalking claw.
Blit's hands shook, his head pivoting so he could fix an eye on Gregory.
What was that?
Theramona's stalking claw. I only know that her family appears influential. Let me amend my story. She didn't die, as I stated previously.
Blit snorted, clearly upset, but he didn't talk. Spirit Lotus sat back, knowing what Blit didn't know yet. She thought hearing it from Gregory first would be best. Gregory explained what had really happened with Theramona, then met Blit's shocked eye.
She should have made it home.
She did. Spirit Lotus smiled. My inquiries about your posting finally reached me last night. Stalking Claw arrived in the capital, and we got her home. Her family was shocked and thrilled. They didn't think to inform us, as no one had been told Gregory would be here. Needless to say, my inquiries went with my report of the festival. Your name should be circulating in the court as we speak.
Just Theramona? Not her sister, too?
Blit asked. Thera said that her sister died when she was captured. I'm sorry.
No.
Blit said, standing up and starting to pace.
A magi returned one of the stalking claws home. Never in my life.
Trailing off, he kept pacing.
There is debt, Spirit Lotus said. It will be repaid where and when it can without harming your standing in the Empire. We'd hate to see the good ones brought down for good deeds.
If I may then tell Rudit about the tea, my pretext for this closed meeting was me trying to get information from you. This way, when it's questioned later, I can play it off as a misguided attempt to engage in espionage.
Spirit Lotus blinked at him, then laughed.
Very well. I will tell you of a lost valley in the woods. It is said to contain thousands of these plants.
Blit snorted.
That old tale is a myth.
Which is perfect, Gregory smiled. I was played by a far more experienced ambassador. It'll hurt my reputation, but save me far more later.
Well then, let me tell you the story, Spirit Lotus said.
Wait.
Blit cut in. Coming over, he extended his hand to Gregory.
On behalf of my country, thank you.
I'm sorry I couldn't save the rest,
Gregory said somberly as he shook Blit's hand.
One day, I hope to see the old overturn for what should be.
When Aether returns,
Clover said firmly.
When Aether returns,
Ling nodded with a small smile.
It would take Aether to force that fraud of an emperor to change,
Spirit Lotus said tightly.
How my people regret ever helping him learn his magic.
All three magi jerked, their eyes focused on her. Seeing their rapt attention, Spirit Lotus sighed.
Of course it isn't known anymore. He'd have had it expunged. We don't have time for both stories. We'll meet again later, and I'll tell you about Toja then. We need to shore up the pretext for the visit now. It isn't cheap to run these enchantments.
Of course,
Gregory said.
We'll look forward to hearing the rest later.
Chapter 9. Heading back to the embassy, Gregory was pensive. Before he filed a report about the mystical valley in the forest, he wanted to talk with Yukiko. He wasn't opposed to making himself appear naive or gullible, but she'd understand the ramifications even better than he did.
The other story,
Clover said, breaking the silence.
Do you think she'll tell us?
Yes, Gregory said. But it will be bad if it's known that we know.
I can't think the Emperor would appreciate that information being known by someone in the Empire,
Ling said.
And we'll talk about it later with the others,
Gregory said.
I need to find Yuki when we get back to discuss her thoughts on filing a report about the valley.
It would muddy things about the enchantment being used,
Clover said.
At the cost of his reputation, Yuki is the best at understanding the consequences of doing it. If it dips too far, then it won't just be a cover.
Gregory squeezed them both when his resonance picked up someone's aether touching the carriage.
It's fine.
They'd both stiffened slightly, having felt it too.
Decisions will be made. If the story is right, then it'll be a major boon.
That's a good point, Ling murmured. I'd like to cuddle while we're in private.
Clover giggled.
I am all for cuddles.
They stayed quiet for the rest of the ride. The aether dissipated when they got out of the carriage. Gregory made his way to Yukiko's office after giving both Clover and Ling a hug. Yukiko glanced up when Gregory entered, and her smile went from professional to warm.
My soul, can I help you?
I need your advice, my heart,
Gregory said, moving to the sofa to sit. Yukiko's shadow rose up and swallowed her before she appeared beside Gregory. Snuggling in, she sighed happily.
Tell me more.
Chuckling at her using her aether, he held her.
If I file a report about a mythical valley in the northern woods filled with spirit lotuses, how bad would that be?
It will lower your standing in the Empire,
Yukiko murmured.
You haven't shown naivety before, so it'll be difficult to explain. It would need to be a carefully worded report.
What if it's worded as me attempting espionage and just failing?
That's for the best. The real question is how much you stand behind the idea of the valley being real.
That's why I came to you as soon as I got back.
Her fingers danced along his chest while Yukiko thought.
I'd opt for highly unlikely, but you felt it worth reporting. You'll have to report what information you gave away in return.
My stance on slave laws last year?
Plausible. It would explain the myth being given to you. Write it up and I'll go over it.
Thank you, my heart,
Gregory murmured, tilting her chin up to kiss her lightly.
Might I sit at your desk with you to work on it?
For another kiss, I'll allow it.
Gregory kissed her again, but with more passion. Yukiko melted against him, happily returning the kiss. When the family retired after dinner, they sat in the front room to talk. Roshana and Mindy bracketed him on the sofa while the others took up other seats around them. Gregory had just finished telling them about the trip and his report.
Toja was trained by the elves?
Jen asked.
That's what she hinted at, but we'll have to find out more later.
Clover nodded.
Blit will confirm your story,
Roshana said.
I don't doubt the debt being paid when they can.
We'll hold that for now,
Yukiko said.
It might be a favor we need later.
Spirit Lotus never asked about Night Song,
Ling said slowly.
She'd mentioned wanting to during the festival.
She must have forgotten. With the news she'd had from home, it's not surprising. I'd be glad to tell her when we see her again,
Gregory said.
Rafik never told him, Mindy murmured. When he was speaking to Blit during the festival, Rafik never hinted about Thera. His shock shows that to be true.
Rafik wouldn't do that. It would hurt me if it came out, Gregory said, having been scanning the room from the moment they'd taken their seats.
Most of their discussions were about the various archivists and the families to the north and in Lamaze,
Ling said.
Rafik's is in Lamaze,
Clover said.
Which makes sense.
I never asked, because I didn't want to offend him.
Gregory sighed as that reminded him about Blit's heritage. Roshana giggled.
Blit? He's a rhinoceros, you tick.
I don't know anything about them.
I'll be glad to discuss the animals you might know from Lamaze.
Roshana smiled.
Most of us would like to hear that, Jen said.
A topic for the evenings?
You can start in a little bit,
Yukiko said.
Before that, while we're unobserved, Ragnar and his sister will be over in 2 days.
I can ask Rudine about using her office,
Gregory suggested.
That would draw far too much attention. We'll just need to caution them against some things.
Ling sat up.
I have an idea for how to mask our conversations. Spirit Lotus's music box being tied to her office enchantments gave me a firmer idea on it. I have no idea if I can do it by then, but I'll be working hard on it tomorrow.
Can we assist?
Roshana asked.
Sadly, no. If I can make what I'm thinking of, it would only work against wind magi who are pressed to windows and other surfaces.
We could just make ourselves hard to find,
Clover suggested.
What do you mean?
Jen asked.
What if we don't have them here or in an office? We could borrow one of the staff rooms. They'd gladly help.
They all stared at Clover for a moment before grinning. Yukiko used her magic to go from her seat to standing behind Clover. Leaning over, she hugged the excitable squirrel Yurtik, kissing an ear.
That's a wonderful suggestion, our heart. It won't work more than once, but for this first meeting at least, it will. And we can warn them when we do see them.
Sometimes simple is best, Mindy said. Ling, you'll still work on your enchantment?
Yes, it might be useful later.
When Yukiko let Clover go, Ling leaned over to lightly kiss her.
Well done, my sweet.
Clover was all smiles as she bounced in place.
I wasn't sure if it was dumb or not.
Not at all, Jen said. In fact, we should probably make sure she understands how much we appreciate her idea.
Gregory laughed when all eyes turned to him.
I'm not opposed, but when we retire...
Clover licked her lips, nodding eagerly.
That's fine.
More laughter came at her quick acceptance.
Greg, is there anything else that we should cover?
Yukiko asked him, walking back to her seat beside Jen. Double-checking the room slowly, he exhaled.
Are you all okay with the idea that she might join the family?
As long as she's respectful of us,
Roshana said.
If she can accept our family,
Jen said.
My only worry is that she tries to take over.
Clover said softly.
I don't want that. Yuki's our lead wife.
I will say, I've had a little fear of being marginalized since we've heard, Ling added.
Would she join us, being Ragnar's sister?
Mindy asked.
Wouldn't that bring too many eyes to us if the High Champion marries into our family?
I'm in agreement with the rest of you,
Yukiko said.
We'll have to see how things go. As for bringing attention to the family, maybe it'll be a serious topic for all of us. He can't announce himself until Greg is ready if she marries in. If it's known that he's Krog, it would push the rest forward. The Empire might not want to know the true myth of Vera and Aether, but Kroga, Lamaz, the Elves, and the Yurtik do.
That's my concern, too. It'll be a heavy discussion with Ragnar about his plans,
Gregory said.
Darkness cautions us to wait for me being an elder before announcing myself. We'll need to make sure he knows that.
It's going to be a busy day when they come to visit,
Mindy said.
We warned Greta about it today.
She was disappointed, but accepted we needed a day for family, Jen said.
That's one less worry, then, Gregory exhaled. Though I'd bet good money that Ragnar asks me for a spar.
Almost certainly,
Yukiko said.
Maybe we can both have a go,
Jen said. He pushed me, and that helped me see things I can work on.
I'm pretty sure he'll accept, Gregory chuckled.
Keep it to weapon skill only, please,
Mindy asked.
That'd be for the best, Ling said. The Yard might not survive a full spar with the three of you involved.
Jen and Ragnar could do a lot of damage, Gregory agreed. I'll need to start training my physical enhancement magic, too. Once I feel like I have a grasp on it, Jen, if you could help me, I would appreciate it.
Gladly. It'll be good training for both of us. I could use your foresight for training, at least.
We could all stand to start pushing our magic more,
Yukiko said.
It's why I've been using shadows to move about. Also, my shadow ears are getting a workout inside the walls, too. I'm only using them in public rooms, but I'm stretching myself.
That's a good point,
Roshana said.
Mine will be the hardest to practice. I'll talk with Rudit about it. Maybe she'll have ideas of what I can practice or do some good.
I'll try for harder alchemical items,
Clover nodded.
Maybe I can offer to heal anyone who wishes it after the honor duels,
Mindy asked.
We'll ask the next elder who comes to watch, Gregory said.
That might be for the best. I don't want to cause problems.
Roshana,
Yukiko said after a small lull.
Why don't you tell us about rhinoceroses? When you finish, we'll retire for the night. yes!
Clover bounced in place again.
Very well,
Roshana giggled.
They're large animals.
Chapter 10. The day after their trip to the Elven Embassy was busy. Rudit approved Mindy healing anyone who asked after honor duels. Roshana would need to speak to the Kroghheim elders about practicing her magic in the city, but Rudit had also approved it. After the honor duels for the day, Gregory and Jen trained in the embassy yard. He was trying to get a feel for the physical enhancement magic for part of it, but the rest of the time was spent with them both using their magic to push each other. Before bed, Gregory pulled May aside to have a chat. The snake Yurtik was disappointed but hopeful about Makar's answer. She thanked Gregory for broaching the topic, glad that she hadn't done it herself. Gregory was sad for the hopeful woman, but didn't push his foresight to see if Makar would ask or not. Upon retiring for the night, Gregory was in the middle of a carnal whirlwind. When they finally stopped for the evening, he realized why his wives had seemed extra eager. Each of them wanted to make sure their love was reaffirmed. While they knew it in their hearts, a little fear had been building since Vera would be coming to see them tomorrow. Fourth bell had them getting out of bed. All of them were focused on what was going to come today while they got dressed. The usual banter and chatting were minimal as stress rose. Gregory pushed Foresight to check over the day. He wanted to comfort his wives, to reassure them that everything would be okay. What he found was anything but certainty as the future kept shifting and changing. When he looked at the day for anyone but his family, everything settled. Following the others into the front room, he pondered that.
Greg, are you okay?
Yukiko asked, pulling out her puzzle and wax tablet.
Yeah, the embassy's day is fine. The meeting with Ragnar and his sister, though...
He trailed off, shaking his head. Shifting futures again? Jen asked.
Every little thing shifts. It feels like cheating to know the future normally, but when this happens, it shakes me.
We just need to have faith that it'll work out, Mindy said softly. Aether and Vera were the greatest love story in our history. We should let that guide us.
Gregory nodded as he pulled out his wax tablet and Armsmaster squares for the day.
Yeah,
we'll be there with you, our soul,
Ling said gently.
As a family, we'll be fine,
Clover said firmly.
Our Vera is already here.
Yukiko's lips twitched.
Thank you, Clover. I know I'm not her, but I'll do what she did for Aether in the past, helping the family grow with love and understanding.
If anyone can guide us, it's you, Yuki.
Roshana smiled at her wife.
Do we know when they're coming over, at least?
Mindy asked.
This way the staff can have things ready.
Eighth bell. I'll tell the gate guards so they aren't surprised. I'm glad Rudit was okay with them coming over.
Champions have never asked to come onto the grounds short of fighting before,
Yukiko said.
We've been setting all sorts of records. Makes me wonder how our adversaries will try to spin the truth.
That might depend on if Ragnar invades Bloodrock, Jen said. I've been thinking about that since the festival. I'm fairly certain that'll be his raid target.
Taking back the city? That'll be bloody, Ling said. The Magi there is Iron Hand.
In name, at least,
Clover said with a curl to her lip.
He isn't like the ones we call friends.
True,
Roshana nodded.
He was unpleasant when we had to get our papers to cross the border.
He's not a good person, Jen agreed. Ragnar will gut him in combat.
What were your thoughts on him, Greg?
Yukiko asked.
He disparaged Lightshield, Gregory said flatly. I wasn't impressed with his attitude toward our elder.
I see,
Yukiko murmured, looking into the distance for a moment.
Yuki?
Just considering things, our soul,
Yukiko replied softly before smiling.
Right now, we have training to do.
I'll be doing the Peaceful Fist with Rudit in our office after I brief her on the day,
Gregory told the others.
That's why I don't come out to the yard.
Does she ever take time off?
Clover asked.
Not that we've seen, Mindy said.
Could we offer to cover all day for her?
That's not a terrible idea,
Yukiko said.
I doubt she will for months yet, but we can offer. Greg?
I'll let her know,
Gregory nodded. Breakfast was just finishing when the lieutenants came to the table. Gregory gave them a smile as he pushed his empty plate away.
I thought I was the one with foresight. We've gotten used to you, sir.
Jason Taylor chuckled.
You're reliable on what time you finish, sir.
Max Pellant grinned.
What do we need to know for today, Greg?
Davis asked.
We have two guests coming over. Who's on gate duty?
Milton, sir.
I'd like you to be there at 8th Bell, too, Davis. High Champion Ragnar Iverson and his sister will be arriving.